Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live, Friday edition of the Hoosier Report underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. It is an absolute jam-packed show today, so we'll dive right into things. The guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Once we get through some quick headlines, joining me later in this first segment will be Roger Jeffers. He is the superintendent of Floyd County Parks and Recreation. Big weekend for his department. They will debut Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. It's home to New Albany Little League. It's also going to be home to Romeo Court, an outdoor basketball court, which is coming together and going to be absolutely beautiful. I got a sneak peek at it last night as the colors have now been put down. The half-court logo has now been put down. Romeo's signature has been stenciled onto the court. All that it awaits is the three-point lines and other lines needed to play the game of basketball, so we'll talk with him about that. That grand opening is a great free community event tomorrow. There'll be some games on Romeo Court. There'll be some other activities as well, and we'll talk with him about that in just moments. Also, later in segment two, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call will join us. Jared, of course, joins me each Friday to talk IU basketball, and I'm sure we'll dive into some of the July recruiting stuff. Archie Miller has been on the road. IU coaches were three deep last night in a game at the Peach Jam to watch Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis. Later in the show, Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins me. A lot of recruiting-oriented stuff in that segment as well. Also coming up in the final segment, Jason Delaney, the coach of Indy Heat. That's the Nike-sponsored team from Indiana playing down at the Peach Jam. They have got such a tough draw in pool play. He's going to join us just before their noon game. They play again today at noon, and Coach Delaney will join us for a chat. We'll talk about the IU coaches being at his game last night. They've been at every game, whether it be Archie, some assistant coaches. Last night, of course, all three that were in attendance at the Peach Jam were at that game where Keon and Trace both played the Memphis team last night. So we'll talk about that. We'll see how his team is doing so far. Again, they've played some really tough competition. That EYBL is no joke, and we'll catch up with him about that. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. A reminder, tonight our District 5 Little League baseball coverage wraps up at New Albany Little League. Tom Wendt, Lee Kelly, and myself will be live about 5:20 this evening, and we will have a lot of championship games. We'll start at 5:30 with the 11-year-old championship between New Albany and Highlander Youth Recreation. We'll come back at 8 o'clock with the 12-year-old championship, a big rivalry game that should bring out a lot of people. So if you don't have anything going tonight and you're a baseball fan, you can't go wrong with this Little League championship. All kinds of drama, I'm sure. The winner moves on to the state tournament, and we'll have that New Albany Jeff GRC Major Division 12-year-old championship game at 8 o'clock. In between, we hope to have some updates and maybe get some portions of other games, including the 10-year-old championship game between New Albany and HYR from Floyd's Knobs on as well. So make sure you join us for that. It's been a fun week, a busy week out at the park, and we appreciate those of you that have sent some kind notes in. We know a lot of people happy to hear grandsons and relations and family, and we'll continue to follow some of the local teams on once the district concludes later tonight. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. One picture so far really stands out to me Jordan Wells of the Hoosier tweeting out a photo of Tom Ostrom, of Ed Schilling. In the middle is Archie Miller. They're kind of sharing a funny moment watching the Indy Heat team last night with Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis. You can see next to them on both sides, it's just wall-to-wall college coaches, and that's something I can't wait to talk with Coach Delaney about later in the show. The pictures coming out of there, just amazing. Coaches on the lower level, they've got the coaches primarily on one side of each court. And if you look at some of the pictures, I mean, you'll see head coaches, John Calipari, Archie Miller. It's sometimes they're sitting side by side. Sometimes they're even in conversation with each other. And, of course, just tons and tons of assistant coaches from these high major Division I programs there. Indiana has had as many three coaches on site for the Nike Peach Jam. There's six courts they use to play on, so that tells you there's so many prospects. They want to have a coach at these games, whether it's to truly evaluate or whether it's just to wear your Indiana garb and let your appearance be known to these recruits that all have college decisions forthcoming. But there's no question the Nike Peach Jam is the cream of the crop as far as talent and just as far as how everything is organized. Fans on the upper level, they'll be 3-4 deep sometime hanging over the balcony. It's just really a crazy environment for summer basketball. You don't quite see it at that level very often. And I know one of the things we'll talk about later in the show, if the NCAA makes the changes that have been proposed by the Coaches Association, will this be the last July where the Peach Jam exists? Will it be the last July where, if the Peach Jam does continue, that coaches can be in attendance? And I'm just using the Peach Jam as an example. There are numerous other events where the shoe sponsor teams get together. A lot of loaded talent makes it a great evaluation ground for college coaches. So that's something that we'll talk about, and that obviously is something that's going to be interesting to follow here over the next few days. Indiana coaches have also been at the Under Armour event. That's taking place in Atlanta. There are a number of prospects there that they've been watching. The Adidas event, some coaches there as well. A lot of younger players of interest for Indiana up at the Adidas Gauntlet event in Brooklyn. Some assistant coaches have been at that event as well. So covering a lot of ground in this first window, obviously the Nike event, the Adidas event, the Under Armour event. Those are the three big ones that people have paid the most attention to, as you would expect, in this first evaluation period. That's a look at some abbreviated headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens, and the sponsor of our Hoosier headlines as we begin each program with those headlines on the Hoosier Report. Let's go to a guest in this first segment. Roger Jeffers, superintendent of the Floyd County Parks and Recreation Department, joins us. It's a big day for New Albany and Floyd County tomorrow. Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park, which houses New Albany Little League, which is where we've been all week covering some of the big Little League semifinal games and will be tonight for the Little League Championship games, opens. The rest of the park, I should say, opens. There's Romeo Court, a beautiful outdoor facility. The KFC Amphitheater, which was where a lot of performances, musical performances and others will take place. A great shelter pavilion that can house really, really nice events for families and businesses and others, and a long list of other things as well. And Roger joins us today. Roger, I know your group has been very busy getting ready for the opening of this park. It's just going to be a great day. Of course, our interest really focuses around the Romeo basketball court part of things, but I wanted to give you a moment to come on and promote the grand opening because it's free and there's going to be all kind of activities for residents, not only from New Albany and Floyd County, but across southern Indiana tomorrow.
Hey, thank you, Matt. Yep, I'm sitting out here in our shelter pavilion and watching them finish up the Romeo Langford court. They're putting the coaches' boxes in right now, and they'll have it all completed, so it looks great.
A lot of activities tomorrow. Before we kind of center around the basketball part of it, let's talk about what else will be going on at the park for the grand opening starting at 10 a.m.
Sure, yeah, the grand opening recognition ceremony will be at 10 a.m. to recognize our engineers and contractors and our county council members and county commissioners that's been a big part of this, as well as our Parks Board members that's been involved with this project for about 4 years, and that'll all be held on the KFC Amphitheater stage. And then following that, we will have the Floyd Central String Quartet perform. And following that, we'll have a dance group out of young girls out dancing on our AstroTurf in front of the stage. followed by a concert, a local group. But 12 o'clock will be Trifecta. And then following that at 1 o'clock, we'll have another musical group of Lacefield and James will be performing on the stage. So plenty of musical entertainment and dance for everyone there on our new KFC Amphitheater stage.
Absolutely. And, of course, the day will be a celebration of Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. It's Floyd County's newest park. Romeo Langford Court, you mentioned they're finishing it up. I saw it last night, the red sidelines, the blue basketball court. You've got the Floyd County Parks logo in the center. Even Romeo Langford's autograph was put on with a stencil last night. When you talk about outdoor basketball, which is a pet peeve of mine because I don't think kids do it as much as what they used to. In fact, in some cases, I don't know that kids play outdoor at all. Hopefully that changes with the new Romeo court. But when you talk about outdoor basketball, this is one of the best that I've seen. Not only is the court special, smooth, a safe place to play outdoors, even the goals you've selected, I just get a feeling that everything out there is top of the line, which is how I think it should be when you put a guy like Romeo Langford, who's done everything right so far in his career, put a court together.
Right. This 20 years ago, I built a court similar to this in Ohio when I was parks director up in Ohio, and the same goals. They promote them as the best in basketball, and I had great success with them up there. They've got a lifetime warranty on them. They break away rims. They're just they're well built, and they last. And they can go. The nice thing that we like about them is they go can be adjusted from down to 6 feet up to 10 feet. So we plan in the future inviting the Special Olympics out to do some wheelchair basketball. We can lower for smaller kids. You know, any age can play on this, but we can lock them out so kids don't vandalize them or tear them up either, but you know, it's multi-purpose, and it's just their unbelievable facility. So
we're talking with Roger Jeffers. He's the superintendent of Floyd County Parks and Recreation, talking about the grand opening of Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park, which begins Saturday at 10 a.m. We invite you to come out. Once the ceremonies, Roger, end, those take place in the 10 a.m. hour. What is the schedule, the basketball schedule on the court that day? There will be some actual games.
Yes, we've got it booked up as well. At 11 a.m., we'll have the repeat of the finals of the girls' basketball, elementary basketball that we had over at Scribner. And then at 12 o'clock, and I'll let you mention the teams because I'm not positive all those teams. I know you're well aware who's playing. And then at 12 o'clock, we'll have a replay of the boys' elementary basketball finals. And then I think we have an open run starting at 1 p.m., with a lot of local talent out. Hopefully can come out and just pick up games and play for a while. Then at 2:30, we'll have a New Albany versus Floyd Central alumni game. Some of the former players of those schools that come out and showcase a little bit to be able to be the first ones to get a chance to play on this new court out here that I think Romeo himself will be really proud of. It's a special, special court for a special young man.
Absolutely. And Romeo himself is expected to be there for a lot of the activities tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yep, I think he's going to arrive here a little after 11 o'clock tomorrow when the girls are playing here. And I'm sure he's done it many times. I'm sure he'll get a few requests for some autographs. And the way he always does is handles that real well. I'm sure he'll take care of all the grants for that. And hoping to get him to shoot a few hoops out there and maybe dunk a couple on these new backboards.
Absolutely. I tell you what, when you look at these outdoor goals, these things have big backboards. They are very impressive looking, give the court a great feel, and I think they could handle some of Romeo's best dunks. I don't have any question about that. We're joined by Roger Jeffers. He's the superintendent of Floyd County Parks and Recreation. We want to invite you out to the grand opening of Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. Saturday, 10 a.m. is when the recognition ceremony begins. One other thing, too, Roger, is next year you are going to do the same thing you're doing now with this Romeo court out in Floyd's Knobs, out in Greenville at a park to be determined for Pat Graham in recognition of a former great Floyd Central player that went on to have a spectacular career at IU as well.
Correct, yeah. We, next year is the 30th anniversary of Pat's Mr. Basketball. We thought it was only fitting. You know, well, there's only two of them, and being a Floyd Central, we're going to put it out in the county, and we'll paint it up. We've talked to this company here. They're already getting prepared to do that for us next year. We're going to try to get on their schedule and put a plug in for Leslie Coatings out of Indianapolis. They've done a lot of stuff. They've done all the tennis courts and basketball courts at Community Park. They did the tennis courts out at Gary Cavan Park, and I've worked with them for over 20 years, and they just take pride in their work, and people, when they see this court tomorrow, will see it firsthand what kind of work they took in asphalt pavement job here and turned it into a really, really special facility. So plug for them. But, yeah, we're really looking forward next year to honor Pat Graham as in his 30th year of being Mr. Basketball for the state of Indiana. And we'll have two courts that are two special young men from Floyd County.
Absolutely. Roger Jeffers, Superintendent, Floyd County Parks and Recreation. One more time, it's the grand opening of Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. The ceremony begins at 10 a.m. Elementary Girls Championship rematch between Floyd's Knobs and Greenville at 11 a.m. on Romeo Court. At noon, it's Mount Tabor, which is the school, the elementary school that Romeo attended. A rematch of the boys' game as the champion Grantline will take on runner-up Mount Tabor at noon. An open run for area players between 1 and 2:30, and then a New Albany Floyd Central alumni game. I've seen the rosters for both teams. Should be a very competitive game to conclude the basketball activities tomorrow, again with that 2:30 tip-off in the New Albany Floyd Central game. No cost. There'll be food trucks. There'll be concessions. I know it's going to be hot, but there'll be plenty of water, some air-conditioned rooms for you to take a break in as well. And, Roger, we really appreciate all the work that you and your staff and the board have put in. It is, if you haven't seen it, a beautiful facility that for years to come will benefit not only New Albany and Floyd County, but all of Southern Indiana. And I can't wait to see you out there for that event tomorrow.
I appreciate it, Mari. Matt, and one other thing, I'd like to mention Baptist Floyd, and we'll be here tomorrow doing some screenings in our shelter house along with some kids' activities on the other side of our brand-new shelter house. And then McAllister Chiropractic will be down one of our maintenance rooms downstairs, giving chair massages and doing pre-spinal checks. And, again, you mentioned the water. We really appreciate Meyer. We went and picked them up. They donated 800 bottles of water for people here tomorrow to keep them hydrated. So we really appreciate all it. And to me, the special thing about this park has been a community effort here to get this built. And, again, we haven't really talked about it, but for a special young man, Kevin Hammersmith was just a great public benefactor that really supported Floyd County and the parks as well. And it was only fitting when he was passed away in 2011 from a car accident to be able to name this park after Kevin. And we're really proud of that and his family as well.
Absolutely. Roger, thanks so much for taking a minute. I know you guys are putting final preparations on plants and the little details you maybe haven't had a chance to get to yet. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Matt.
Absolutely. Roger made a great point as well. Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park, obviously named after Kevin. He was at Duke Energy, very important for that company, a great friend, a guy that we lost way too early in life, and a way to remember him and his commitment to parks and the community over the years. What a great idea but from Floyd County Parks to name it after Kevin Hammersmith. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk more IU basketball. We'll talk about last night's big games at the Peach Jam, where the IU coaches are at, where they may be, and more coming up next right here on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back, and as always on Fridays, I look forward to my chat with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We dive into IU basketball no matter what time of year it is here on the Hoosier Report. And today, Jared, a number of topics to bring up with you. I want to start with something that I found a little odd. There's been a lot of talk about DJ Carton. He has really come on strong as a guard prospect from Iowa that IU is very interested in, and it appears that Carton also very interested in Indiana as well. They're in his final three, as is Ohio State, as is Michigan. He's taken official visits already to Michigan and Indiana in that order, and is now, or I think yesterday, just finished up his official visit at Ohio State. I've never heard of an official visit taking place with the head coach, not especially for a prospect like Carton, who is rising up the national rankings very quickly, a head coach not on campus for the entire official visit. I understand it's the July recruiting period, the first window, but Chris Holtman was down in the Peach Jam for a good part of the day yesterday while DJ Carton was in day two of his official visit. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it will hurt Ohio State's chances. I'm just saying it's very interesting.
It is, yes, it is certainly odd. And I definitely thought it was odd when I first heard it. But I think when you look into it a little bit more, it probably makes sense and was kind of out of necessity, because it was pretty clear if you read the comments from DJ Carton's mom to Alex Bozich on Inside the Hall after his, you know, back-to-back Michigan and Indiana visits, it sounded like they were getting a little bit tired of the process, you know, ready to make a decision, ready to get it all over with. And so knowing that, I'm sure, you know, Ohio State wanted to have one chance to kind of get their final pitch in before the decision was made. And that didn't leave a whole lot of time. And so he came this weekend, and that happened to be the weekend of Peach Jam. And so from what I read, and I want to be careful to credit it correctly, I think it was in the Inside the Locker Room on Peaks today. Holman was there for the morning, then flew to the Peach Jam, and then was back in time for dinner that night. So he had quite the travel schedule. And look, those are two really big priorities when you're a coach. You've got the best point guard of the Midwest on your campus on an official visit, and then you've got the Peach Jam with, you know, a good majority of the best players in the country. So you need to be seen. So, you know, either way, he wasn't going to be able to give 100% attention, as I'm sure he wanted to. So it sounds like he tried to balance it as best he could. And, you know, from what you read and what you see, Ohio State is, you know, probably the third team out of those three. And it looks like it's down between Indiana and Michigan, with most people seeming to think that Michigan is ahead. But I guess what seemed kind of odd at first, when you actually break it down and think about it and think about the time crunch they were in, if they wanted to make one final pitch to DJ Carton, it's probably the only way they could do it.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call here on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Speaking of Carton, there have been some predictions out there and some reports that maybe he does favor Michigan. What is your take on that?
Well, I don't have any first or second hand knowledge on this, so I'm just going off what I've read. And I haven't read anybody or kind of talked with anybody who is especially confident about IU. You know, some people say like he has a chance, maybe it's closer than you think. But it seems like, if you're just kind of reading the tea leaves and kind of adding up the sentiment, it seems like the sentiment is stronger for Michigan. So at this point, it would seem to be a bit of a surprise if he would choose Indiana over Michigan, but, you know, it's not out of the question. So, you know, I guess I would say that I remain cautiously optimistic, but certainly ready to start looking at what other guard options are there if he chooses ultimately to choose Michigan.
All right, Jared Morris, Assembly Call. We have talked so much about recruiting here this week, and I know that will continue throughout a great portion of the month. I don't want to forget about the current team, which remains, for the most part, in Bloomington doing some summer work. We saw a couple more workout videos. The guys in the sand pit looks like much more physical activity than I ever want to get myself involved in. But I tell you what, a good video was Deron Davis back out on the court, of course, after the injury last season that ended his season, back out there doing some things, and that's a good sign.
Well, that really was a good sign, you know, and obviously he wasn't doing a ton of lateral movement or a lot of quick movements, but just seeing him out there moving, you know, getting some shots up was really great to see. I know, you know, on the show, it seems like every week, you know, people will ask us, you know, what we think about Deron and what we project for him. And when you start looking ahead to next season, he's a really important piece of the puzzle. You know, Bart Torvik put out his player projections for next year. And, you know, it's kind of hard for him to gauge how much a guy like Deron is going to play, because, you know, no one's quite sure about the injury. You know, and he had Deron projected as like an 11-point scorer and a guy who would get 6-7 rebounds. And that's big production, you know, and he's a big man who can play at a high level. So, you know, we know that he's got some limitations on the defensive end, you know, especially with how Archie wants to play. But it's undeniable that having a weapon like that and an offensive force like that could really be helpful. So I know, you know, we've just kind of been, I guess, slow playing it a little bit and trying to be, I guess, trying to take a conservative tone so that we can be pleasantly surprised, you know, if he's out there in November ready to go for the start of the season. But, you know, my hope is that he's ready to go for Big Ten play, you know, 100%. But we'll just have to see. It's a tough injury to come back from, especially for a big guy who's had some conditioning concerns. But I think if he can, you know, that would really say a lot about his mindset, about his maturity, about his commitment to being the best player that he can be. So every little video that we can see of him out there doing basketball things is just one more reason to have optimism that he can still be a factor this upcoming season.
Absolutely. Obviously, there is a ton of excitement about the incoming freshman led by Romeo. Juwan Morgan returning, that's been a big storyline as well. who have you kind of been watching for in some of these videos or trying to figure out what's going on with them this summer? Is there a returning player or two that you kind of have taken a little extra interest in because of what you think they can bring to this team, both the returning players and the young players next year?
That's a good question. I mean, it is. It's always so interesting looking at the new guys, you know, whenever you see the videos or when the hysteria comes around. But I have found myself, you know, just kind of every single video that comes out looking for Devontae. And I say that because he's such an important player for this year's team. I mean, if he as an upperclassman now can provide stability at that lead guard spot, it would be so meaningful for this team. You know, not only for the production that he could provide, but, you know, to be able to allow guys like Al Durham and Robert Phinisee to not have undue pressure put on them, you know, to maybe assume roles that they're not ready for. And, you know, we saw toward the end of last season, you know, Devontae did enough, I think, to give you legitimate reason that he can, you know, be a really solid guard at the Big Ten level. It, you know, his freshman year, it was just in spurts. And the first half of last season, it was just really short spurts. You know, and even though he maybe tailed off a little bit towards the end, he had a nice stretch there of, you know, 5-6 games where he played really solidly. And so, you know, it's one of those things. I just kind of find myself, you know, kind of looking at him to see, you know, what he's looking like, how his attitude seems, and all those little things, which is ridiculous, you know, because you're only seeing, like, these short little 1 or 2 second clips on these videos. But I think it's just because my mind is so primed to think that he's such an important player. And, you know, even though it has gotten IU basketball analysts in trouble before over the last couple of years, I can't help myself but start to feel kind of confident in him really breaking out as a junior and having a solid season.
Absolutely. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is my guest. Jared is with us on Fridays as we talk IU basketball. We got to get back to the recruiting side of things real quick before we let you go. The IU coaches 3 deep last night for Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks. And I saw a picture from Jordan Wells, and that picture has been well circulated on the internet, on social media, of the coaches kind of sharing a laugh, sharing a joke, sharing a smile, watching that game. A lot of other coaches obviously have been in attendance as well, but you know, you got to wonder at some point. Trace obviously knows Indiana is very, very interested in him. I'm sure that in point-blank words, they make that known to him on a somewhat regular basis. And same goes for Keon Brooks. I guess you get to a point in a recruitment at some point where you have to show things, maybe. And by having 2 assistant coaches and 1 head coach there, while there's a number of other prospects playing on other courts, front and center for that Indy Heat game with both of those players, I guess that's kind of a sign not only to the players but to other coaches. These are 2 of our main guys, and we're going to ride and stay with them until we find out that we're not getting them or that they do commit to Indiana.
Absolutely. I mean, when you have 2 guys that high level in your state that you've got a connection with, you know, that you have a really good chance with, you have to go all out. And so, look, it's certainly possible that Trace or Keon or both of them could go elsewhere, you know, and then you're left with neither of those guys. And I'm like, man, we invested a lot of time recruiting 2 guys that didn't come. I think more than likely one of them will come. And hey, if you, you know, really go all out, maybe you get both of them. And that would be a program changing duo to be coming in next year. But either way, whenever those recruitments are done, there is going to be no regrets on, I can't imagine, you know, from the standpoint of the coaches or from fans looking at this. You know, if they choose to go elsewhere, it is going to be because they really just found a better fit elsewhere or something just didn't fit right at IU, but it won't be because the Indiana staff was distracted, they weren't focused, they didn't have their priorities straight. I mean, they show that every time we see one of these evaluation periods, and, you know, it worked really well with you know, the 2018 class, because the guys that they really prioritized, you know, obviously they didn't get a guy like Darius Garland, but you know, they were able to make up ground with Romeo and get some of the other guys they really targeted. And if that holds true, then you have to feel good about Indiana's chances to get a decent amount of these guys that they're heavily targeting this year. So it's great to see. I'm glad that they're prioritizing that way. And then at the end of the day, you just have to let 18-year-olds, you know, be 18-year-olds and make decisions. And then, you know, kind of go on from there.
Absolutely. Jared Morris, Assembly Call. Jared, it's always great to catch up and talk a wide array of IU basketball topics with you. Again, check out at Assembly Call on Twitter. Jared has all kinds of IU stuff that you'll find interesting there. And, of course, Assembly Call Radio and the podcast available at assemblycall.com. We appreciate the chat, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds great. Thank you, Matt.
I just see here Jeff Rabjohns, who joins the program on Wednesdays, sending out a picture of the coaches, the full coaching staff, watching Bradley Beal Elite, the 17 and under team. They've got Zion Harmon, a player from down in West Kentucky, Moses Moody, and a number of other standouts as well. They're playing a team from California. Zion Harmon is the guy that's scored all kind of points in his high school career. He got to play, I think, maybe even as a middle schooler, which rules allow you to do in Kentucky. And I believe he's entering his fourth school in 4 years down in Western Kentucky, but nonetheless a player that is very talented. He's taken an unofficial visit to Indiana, and the coaching staff is watching him right now. The full coaching staff, and the picture that I see from Jeff Rabjohns that he's posted on social media, it looks like, I guess four coaches there, three assistants and the head coach, all right this moment at the Peach Jam down in North Augusta. So interesting there to see them all together, not just three, but four coaches together watching some of these games. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Neddenriff for a quick chat. More July recruiting stuff coming up right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here. Kyle Neddenriff of the Indianapolis Star joins us. He is a regular on Friday's edition of the Hoosier Report. And Kyle, a ton of basketball being played across the country right now. A lot of focus on the Peach Jam. A lot of focus on, of course, the shoe-sponsored events. Under Armour has a session going on down in Atlanta. Adidas has a session of the Adidas Gauntlet going on, in New York City. And last week, you had a chance, before any of this stuff got underway with the D1 coaches in attendance, to go to the IBCA workout. A lot of the top underclassmen in the state were there as they getting ready to get back into things with some July basketball.
Yeah, actually, I had a chance on Sunday. There was a deal for 2020 class, which is the junior class to be over at Arlington. So watched that for several hours. And then Monday, like you mentioned, the top 100 over at Ben Davis. And, you know, I thought overall was a pretty good turnout. I think probably a larger percentage of the kids got there maybe that had in recent years. You still had several of the top seniors to be that 2019 class weren't there, either kind of resting up for the July period or already on their way somewhere or whatever. But I thought the 2020 class had a pretty good showing there. You probably had a total of maybe, you know, 10 to a dozen Division I players. I got a chance to see them. I'm going to have a story on Caleb First from Fort Wayne Blackhawk here in the next few days. But that was my first real chance to see him play other than on video. And a very impressive player. He's in the 2021 class, actually. He was a freshman last year. Already has offers from Butler and Purdue, and that's a name in the state that people should be aware of, definitely moving forward. But, you know, so I thought it was pretty good showing. I wrote about the Lawrence North kids. There were four of them, and Mike Saunders Jr. and Tony Perkins specifically wrote about them, but also Jared Hankins was there, DJ Hughes, who's going to be a sophomore also in that class. So, you know, I thought those guys really played well. Several others, I thought that overall it was a good event. I know they're always trying to tweak it and maybe shorten it a bit, but overall, you know, all teams got three games in and some stations, and I thought it was a pretty good event. Always enjoy going to that and seeing guys you may not see otherwise. You know, just kind of read about them and hear about them, and maybe you only see him once or so, but got a chance to see quite a few guys on Monday as well as Sunday. Sunday was a good event too. There was the Eric Gordon group in 2020, the Spies Indy Heat team from that age group. There was an Indiana Elite team that had Max Gizzy, who I wrote about from New Powell, point guard, a good player. So got a lot out of that too. I thought that was a good event, you know, to go and see as well. So got a chance to see, you know, quite a bit of basketball early in the week.
That's always a good thing. Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, my guest. As the Peach Jam and some of these shoe events go on, we see pictures and hear reports of so many college coaches there, so much talent on the court. And one of the big storylines has nothing to do with any of that. It's that these proposals by the Coaches Association to the NCAA, the Commission on College Basketball, headed up to help maybe improve things after all the issues that popped up starting last fall with FBI and agent runners and just a lot of things that didn't give college basketball on the recruiting side of things a good look whatsoever. One of those recommendations has been to bar coaches from the July events and have regional camps. We've talked about this some already on the program that would be ran by the NCAA at colleges for the top prospects on a regional basis. And then the best of the best would be gathered later in July for another viewing opportunity for D1 coaches. It's also been mentioned perhaps that coaches should be allowed to attend some high school-oriented stuff, whether that be open gym at a specific school, whether that be summer league games, whether that be an event like the IBCA underclassmen workout that Kyle spoke about earlier in his chat today. Your thoughts on that? You're very well-studied when it comes to high school basketball, recruiting. You've been around for a lot of it. I'm curious, do you share the same concerns that a lot of the Division I coaches have that, yeah, there might be problems, but getting rid of well-organized, greatly ran events like the Peach Jam with so much talent in a team setting where they've been playing together for, in some cases, a number of years, definitely a number of months, is that even possible to think about a July structure, a recruiting structure in the summer where coaches couldn't go to something like that?
Yeah, I think really, Matt, what it comes down to is, you know, people understand something needs to change. There's some sort of, you know, changes that need to be made, you know, based off what's happened with the, you know, the, like you mentioned, the scandal that has happened over the last year or so with the shoe companies and the money being funneled. You know, so I think, you know, people are aware, all right, well, what's the change is going to be? So I think you have this problem over here on one side, and then you're creating a solution that sort of has nothing to do with what the problem actually is. So, it's interesting to me how, you know, what's going to happen here is they're going to change the July structure and not have coaches be able to watch things like the Peach Jam and you know, those bigger July tournaments, Vegas, you know, and whatever else is going on in July, you know, and I'm not sure what the utility of that is really going to be. I mean, to me, it's great to have camps and it's great to, you know, bring the top kids in and you know, have them have camps and I'm sure there'll be games at those things too. But, you know, I would want to see, you know, the Peach Jam, I think, is a great opportunity, you know, not only for these top guys to play against each other, but I was reading, you know, Gary Parrish, I thought, had a good article yesterday on this very topic, and he mentioned Mike Dom, who, you know, I'd heard about him. You know, he's from Nebraska originally, a small town. You know, he got, you know, kind of blew up at a tournament in Vegas where coaches were watching other players, and this happens all the time. You know, coaches are there to see somebody else, you know, and then they see a kid stand out, they start tracking him, maybe get an offer, and all of a sudden a guy like Mike Dom has an offer from, you know, from South Dakota, and he, you know, was able to go Division I. Now he's an All-American player, South Dakota State, actually. And, you know, so there's stories like that happen that, you know, I think you're not going to have, you know, if you go to this camp setting, regional setting and things like that, you're going to have, you know, how are those kids selected? And from the sounds of it, it's going to be, you know, those college coaches are selecting the players to make it to those places. And you're not going to have the Mike Dom stories that you know, it's going to close doors for people like that. Who clearly would not have been selected for a top camp like that, you know, but he's on a team that gets seen, and all of a sudden he's a Division I player. He's clearly belonging, and maybe he would have made it anyway, you know, and that's another part of it too is, you know, I think maybe sometimes this stuff's a little bit overblown because guys are going to find their way to be seen somehow or another. So, you know, I can see it on both sides. I understand why they're trying to change, why they're trying to change things, and something definitely needs to change. But as long as you have the shoe companies involved, not only from an AAU standpoint, but, you know, gosh, these, you know, how much money do these coaches make off of a, you know, shoe affiliation? You know, and that, so, you know, they're embedded with these big time college programs in a huge way. So, you know, I'm not sure what the answer is. This is something I, you know, think about a lot, and I read all this stuff, and you know, but to me, it's like you have this problem that's happening, and then it's kind of an apples and oranges with the solution and the problem. So I don't see any need to change July a whole lot. You know, it serves its purpose. You know, why would you not want to see the top guys go up against each other? And like I said, that may still happen anyway. But I think the story is like, you know, the guys who are mid-majors or, you know, and I've covered so many guys who have been, you know, mid-major or lower, not even Division I prospect really, but they, you know, they play well in a tournament, you know, they're seen, they kind of blossom, you know, kids get better, you know, you don't stay the same level you are all the time. So
sure.
You know, maybe they're on a team that doesn't get seen as much.
Kyle
Medrick. All of a sudden they blow up and you know, things change. So, you know, that's the problem I see, I guess, with this solution.
Kyle, great stuff. We have to get to a commercial break. Appreciate you very much joining us. Thank you, and we'll talk with you again next Friday.
Okay, thanks so much, Matt.
We will head to a commercial break. Be back with Jason Delaney, coach of Indy Heat, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Jason Delaney, coach of the Indy Heat team playing down in the Peach Jam right now, joins us from the tournament. And, coach, before we even talk about your team's performances so far or some of the IU targets that are on your team, and, boy, there are some big ones on your team that the coaches have been spending a lot of time at the Peach Jam watching, what is the environment like? I've seen photos of fans lined up 2, 3, 4 deep in the balcony to hang over and watch. We've seen just about every big-name head coach, all types of assistant coaches. It's got to just be a great basketball setting down at the Nike Peach Jam.
First, thanks for having me on. And to answer your question, I mean, this atmosphere is one of the best atmospheres I've ever been around. You know, I compare it, you know, state championships at Bankers Life are so fun. But this is a whole different level. You know, the state championship is great, but when it comes to this in a small environment with these crowds and the roar, if you've ever seen Mad Max Beyond, you know, Thunderdome, where there's people above you and you got people below, like the people above you, when someone has a huge dunk or a big play, just the roar in there is deafening. And it's just really neat to see that and hear that when those things happen.
You know, I was curious, you've got some players, and I think about Trace Jackson Davis, that have played for their country and have played in some really big high school games in the state of Indiana. We take it serious. There are some good crowds for tournament games, for some of the bigger games. Is this environment intimidating to any of these big-name guys that are being recruited heavily, that have got all kind of basketball experiences under their window? Is this type of setting even maybe something that takes them aback a little bit?
I don't think so, just because, you know, one, they're used to it, but two, you know, we're so focused on what's going on the court. You know, you really don't pay attention to the college coaches over there in the crowd. You don't really either. You just, you know, you hear those roars and everything, but, you know, you're trying to focus on that game. And the guys have done a great job of staying focused. It's really, really tough to win at this level.
Talking with Jason Delaney, he's the Indy Heat coach. They're playing down at the Nike Peach Jam. He's also the head coach at Indianapolis Cathedral. He joins us from Augusta to talk about what's going on with his team
and some of the IU targets. Now, you told us a week or two ago when you joined the program that you had a really, really tough draw for the Peach Jam. You guys were getting ready to go into a mini camp that weekend. Started off with a loss, came back yesterday morning with a victory, and then lost to a Memphis team last night. So as you stand right now, 1-2, you've got some very, very big games coming up today at the Peach Jam.
Yeah, I mean, our pool was the hardest you could have imagined. Oakland Soldiers, who has Scottie Pippen's son, and KJ Martin, who's Kenyon Martin's son. I mean, they won the championship last year, so that's who we had to start with. And that coaching staff does such a great job of preparing them. They knew plays that we were running in AAU, you usually don't have that happen. But, you know, we use film, we have scouting reports, and so, you know, every team is prepared. And then each one teach one yesterday, who has been in every game, and we had to fight to the very, very end to beat them. They got C.J. Walker and Trey Mann, who are two huge targets for most colleges. And then last night, we had to go against Bluff City and the number one player in the nation, James Wiseman. But it wasn't just him. It was four other, you know, high major guys going to Memphis and Kentucky and all other places. You know, we do have Trace and Keon and Isaiah and John Michael, you know, guys who have already – who are higher level, but when you get to that level, like I said, last night there's four high majors and they're all over 6'9". We're getting ready to take on team takeover now, and their sixth man is going to Virginia. I mean, we just don't have that depth. And so, you know, you've got to really focus on playing as a team. Last night we were scoring points, but we just couldn't get stops against Bluff City. You know, we cut it to 10, and they bank in a three. And, you know, the same thing the other night. We're playing Oakland, and a kid who hadn't really done much banks in two threes, and we're down two late in the game, and the shot clock's getting ready to go off, and the kid fires up about probably a 32-footer, and it goes in. I mean, it's just at this level, it's really tough to win, and you have to value every possession, and you have to really dig down and find that effort.
Talking with Jason Delaney, coach of the Indy Heat. They are at the Nike Peach Jam, the EYBL Finals in North Augusta right now, and have a couple games scheduled for later today. I know Archie Miller, his assistant coaches, have been at nearly, if not everyone, nearly all of your games. In fact, I saw a photo last night from your game against Bluff City where Coach Miller and two assistants flanked him three deep for a game at the Peach Jam to make sure that Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks, and other guys that they're beginning to recruit, are recruiting on your team, knew that their presence was in the building in a big way.
Yeah, and, you know, and for the college coaches too, you know, you're getting to see them go against the best of the best, and you want to see how they measure up. And a big message this morning was, you know, make sure that they can never question your effort. For some of our guys, these are the best players they're ever going to play against, and our guys are going to go on to play college, but to play a group together, they're this talented. For some of our guys, this is the best that they'll play. You know, we still, besides team takeover, have Vernon Carey and Scotty Barnes tonight. Vernon Carey is number two in the nation. And so, I mean, it doesn't get any easier, but if you're a competitor, this is what you want. You want the college coaches to see you go against these guys. A guy yesterday, C.J. Walker from Each One Teach One, he's out of Florida, he had a show, and you can tell how much he's improved. And all of a sudden, he started getting those high offers last night. You know, he had all these other schools, Florida State, you know, Kentucky, and some of them looking at him. But now, after that performance last night, when he went against Vernon Carey and even dunked on him, now you start to see those offers come. So guys' lives can change by going against this competition.
One of the storylines that has kind of ran parallel with the event, and I expect it will continue as the other evaluation windows happen later this month, but these proposals that the NABC has put forth, Jeff Goodman broke, kind of sourced a lot of that last week about going to four regional camps with one big finale camp. They would be on college campuses, maybe backing into the month of June and opening up some of the high school activities for Division I coaches to attend, and barring coaches from the Peach Jam and these type of shoe and travel and AAU-sponsored events in the month of July. From every report that I've seen, every person we've had on the show, everything I've read written, everything I've seen tweeted, of course, no coach is going to attach their name to it at this point,
sure.
But there have been no positives
from coaches circulating, watching games at the Peach Jam, pointing out, look at all this talent. Look how well ran it is. Look at the crowd. Look at everything that's right about this. It would be amazing, unbelievably bad if we cannot come recruit at these type of events next year. Is that kind of the vibe you get from coaches and others down at the Peach Jam as well?
Oh, by far. I mean, you'd be doing a total disservice to children. I mean, because for them to have this experience, like you mentioned, being able to play in this atmosphere in front of these coaches, you know, for some of our guys who are going to go mid-major or maybe D2 or NAIA, like this is their one chance to play in front of these coaches. You know, and that's something when they get old, they'll be able to say, I played in front of so-and-so, and I played against, you know, you look at the draft a couple weeks ago, 9 out of the top 10 guys were EYBL players, 22 first-rounders were EYBL players. So for our guys to get to go against that type of talent, you know, to take that away to be a disservice, to play in front of this atmosphere would be a disservice. I mean, there's corruption in every business. I mean, it's not just basketball. I mean, you go into any business, there's corruption. And there probably are some changes that need to be made. But let's sit down and make sure we're making the right changes that are going to benefit children, you know, instead of just trying to make changes that we think or to appease people. I'm a high school coach, too. I would love for our Cathedral guys to be able to play in front of coaches, too. But let's make sure we keep the Peach Jam and these things where kids are going to get, you know, lifetime experiences that they'll remember forever.
Absolutely. Jason Delaney, coach of the Indy Heat team. They've got a couple more games today at the Nike Peach Jam. Lots of coaches will be there. Indiana coach is expected to remain in attendance to watch some of the big targets on that Indy Heat team. Coach Delaney, we wish you the very best. We know you've got some tough games cut out even today as competition rolls along. We're always pulling for the Indiana-based teams to do well and represent our state, so best of luck.
Appreciate it, and thanks again for having me on, and thanks for all that you do for high school sports.
Thank you, Coach. Really appreciate that. That'll wrap things up for this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Have a great weekend. We'll return Monday at 11 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio.